Scripture this morning comes to us from the book of Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. Let's read it together. That's not the scripture. Matthew 16. So I'll read it to you. I got my Bible here. Blessed are the flexible. Amen. When Jesus came up to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by men, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. May the Lord bless his word this morning. Christians, as well as non-Christians, sooner or later in their lifetime, especially now with all the crises we're experiencing, will ask a few essential questions. These are basic questions, and I would like to share some of them with you. They did deal with life and with faith. And the first one that we will be starting with during this season of Lent is, who is Jesus? I know people will ask, is there life beyond death? Who is the Holy Spirit? What are we doing here? What's the reason for my existence? These are essential questions. But the first one that we're going to deal with, as I said, is who is Jesus? After a challenging discussion with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, if you read that chapter, who were asking Jesus for a sign from heaven, Jesus went into a quiet place with the disciples. And this was a Gentile territory, a place at the foot base of Mount Hermon. And there's a massive wall of stones there, over 100 feet straight up and about 500 feet wide. Maybe some of you have visited that place. And a city was built on top of this enormous rock. Before the time of Christ, this area was called Peneus because it was an area dedicated to a god by the name of Pan. It was a Greek god. He was a nature and fertility god. They believed that he lived among the mountains and the rocks and the caves. And they call that area the Gates of Hades, because people believed that it reached unto an underworld where there were demons. But during the time of Christ, Philip the Tetrarch enlarged the area and renamed it after the great Caesar Augustus, who consider himself also to be a God. They had a lot of pride. They had big egos. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. And people came to worship Caesar there and the goddess Roma. Philip also added his own name to the place, and that's why the name of the place is Caesarea Philippi. In other words, this was an impressive place of worship to the false gods of their culture. A place where most of the Jewish people would never come to. Now, this is the place where Jesus brings his disciples to have a very intimate conversation with them. This place of immense beauty and horrific idolatry was the place chosen by Christ to be the backdrop of this life-defining question and conversation. Once they were there, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Oh, they all had questions. They had heard. They had been around. They had gone to the marketplace. Publix, where shopping is a pleasure. They had gone to McDonald's. They had gone to Olive Garden. They had heard people talking. And they started giving them their opinion as to who they thought he was. And once they said all that, Jesus asked them the poignant question. "But how about you? Who do you say I am?" Peter always spoke before he thought. He had that kind of personality. He was quick. He was impulsive. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Right away, Jesus said, "Blessed are you. Because flesh and blood did not reveal that to you." In other words, you didn't read it in a textbook, Peter. It was a download from heaven into your spirit. It was revealed to you. Wow. It's an important question. Through the centuries, theologians have tried to interpret or understand what Jesus meant by this title. And though there are different opinions, the conclusion is that by Jesus calling himself the Son of Man, he was laying claim to both his deity and his humanity as the Son of Mary. And though he was the only begotten Son of God, he too was born of a woman. Another important factor to notice, he didn't ask, "What do the Pharisees and the Sadducees say about me? What do they believe?" Up to this time, Christ had not told anybody who he was. He had allowed people to draw their own conclusions. Sometimes we go through life like that. Let them say whatever they want about me. I know who I am. It takes somebody very confident. Otherwise, we want to explain it over and over again so they really know who we are. And sometimes it makes us feel really important. If you only knew who you're talking to or talking about. Jesus didn't do that. And that's why he took that conversation a little deeper. He took it to a personal level when he asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" In other words, he was wondering, "Do you really know my identity? And of course, the answer could not have come from anybody else but Simon Peter. The people might say that he was John or Elijah or Jeremiah, but they were wrong. That's what Peter was saying, really. You're more than a teacher. You're more than a prophet. You're more than a healer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here we see the contrast between the false, the dead gods that have been worshipped for centuries. Because this reply affirms two great truths concerning Jesus Christ. His divine sonship. He is the Son of God. And his messiahship. He's the deliverer of Israel that they have been waiting for. Remember when Jesus was being baptized, there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. The Trinity, even though that word is not in the Bible, was being displayed in front of all of them. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Simon Peter probably didn't know the depth of his confession. Yet this confession is the foundation of our faith. Simon did not say, "I think," or "maybe you are." He said it like he had known it all his life. He said it with conviction. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This time, Jesus approved of Simon. Other times, he wouldn't, because he would just say a few nonsense. And Jesus blessed him. And Jesus went further and said, "Upon your confession," not upon Peter like some people think. Peter is not the founder of the church, it's Jesus Christ. He said, "Upon this confession, I will build my church." And the church has been around for a long time. And I'm not talking about the buildings. I'm not talking about denominations. The church is the people. You and I. People who have been washed with the blood of the Lamb. Have been baptized. Have made confession of their faith. Have said, "Here I am, O God. Yes. Simon tells Jesus who he is. And then Jesus tells Simon who he is. What a blessing. This was more than a dramatic scene. This was history and reality. Jesus built a church. Not the institution, not the denomination. All the denominations are fighting. I believe this, I believe that, you believe that. Splits happening everywhere. That is the reality that we're living with today. But Jesus was talking about himself being the head and the foundation of the church. Not all of our committees, not even the bishop or the pope. And those who recognize Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, those who obey his command and live according to his word have a place in his kingdom. and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church or the living God. You see, the bottom line is, who do you personally say Jesus is to you? How well do you know him? We used to sing that old hymn, and he walks with me, and he talks to me, and he tells me, I am his own. Is it just a song? Or is it a reality in your life? How well do you know him? Whether we choose to believe it or not, Jesus is the Messiah, the one that was prophesied about in the Old Testament and became a reality in the New Testament in John 7:42. He's the Savior, he's the Lamb of glory, who took our place on the cross to redeem humanity, Romans 5:8. Jesus is the only way to God. He himself said it. I'm not telling you what I think he is. I'm just sharing with you scripture. John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, woman, or child come to my Father but by me. See, in any nation of the world where Jesus has been preached, lives have been totally changed. Revivals have started, and hearts have repented because they have had an encounter with the living God. Not a denomination, not a religious group. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking a heart-to-heart encounter with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He rose from the dead, and many people saw him after that. Bible talks about over 500 people, 1 Corinthians 15:3. He is the King of Kings. He is the groom that's coming back for his bride, the church. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. That stands for purity and righteousness. And the Spirit and the bride says, come. Simon Peter knew who Jesus was. The question at hand is, do I personally know who he is? Because you see, my friends, when it's all said and done, it goes beyond all that we've done at church, all the ministries that we've been involved in. All that is great. How many years we've been member of the same church and we've warmed the same pew. We're all creatures of habits. If you notice, we all come to church and sit in the same pew Sunday after Sunday. And all that is wonderful because it's about fellowship with one another. But do we really, truly know him? Have we acknowledged the fact that he came and he went to prepare a place for us? So where he is, we may be also. I'd like to invite you to close your eyes now and to just have a little time with Jesus and to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. And to answer that question within your heart, as Lavon plays something softly in the organ. And it's okay to be silent. That's one of the spiritual practices that we have forgotten to practice. Let's have a little time with the Lord. And invite the Holy Spirit to minister to us. And in that secret place of your heart, tell Jesus who you think he is.